This leads us to myth number four, and that is, as long as we are quoting the Bible, our worship will by default be Christian. So what's wrong? Isn't quoting the Bible enough to make it Christian worship?
Well, simply being biblical in the sense of quoting biblical words may not be truly biblical. That is to say, quoting or paraphrasing passages without regard to the point that they make or how the overall message fits together might not ultimately reflect the main theme of Scripture, which is, of course, salvation in Christ. St. Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Well, for crying out loud, he goes on in the letter to talk about all sorts of other things. But they are always connected back to Christ and Him crucified. And so he'll say at the end of Galatians, far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the same thing. He's trying to get them to see everything in light of the cross and resurrection, which spells our salvation.
So, conceivably, could you have an order of worship that might be completely derived from the Bible by way of quotation and paraphrase, and yet still not be Christian worship or appropriate for Christian congregations to use?
Conceivably. I mean, for example, you could have an order of service that is completely based on the Ten Commandments. That talks about God's demands, it talks about how short we fall of fulfilling those commands, and yet not tell us to whom we go for help and salvation when we don't keep the law. Or you could have a service that spends the great bulk of its time, say, on the Ten Commandments, and that relegates the gospel to kind of a footnote. Now, that is not a good Christian service. I suppose it's a good question, then, to ask about a service or even a private devotion you might have. Where is the cross? And in general, we have the cross by having word and sacrament.
And someone's going to say, in response to what you just said there, Ken, aren't you ignoring the cross when you focus on God's word upon the sacrament?
But see, it's word and sacrament, specifically the gospel word and the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, that bring people the cross's benefits, as we have said several times in this series. So, for example, in the historic communion service, the reading of the gospel lesson, you know, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, the words and deeds of Christ, is surely connected to the cross, because this is something either Jesus said or did on the cross or on his way to the cross. And it is then applied to the hearers in the sermon. In the second half of the service of the sacrament, the words of institution are not only words directly from the lips of Jesus, but words about the body and blood which he is giving and shed for the forgiveness of sins. And that is applied to people in the distribution as they actually eat that body and drink that blood.